But those that listen to his word, follow his word, and like Simeon and Anna and the prophets who studied hard before, it points ahead of them to the consolation of Israel. Why do Christians follow Jesus? Because loving God points you to Jesus as the only one who can carry out what's needed to bring us back to God. Who remember Revelation 5 through 8? Who is able to open the scrolls, the seals, and the Lion of Judah? That's why we look to Christ. But then we talk about, as Jesus came to earth then, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And what happens? His disciples left him, John. They followed Christ. And we've been called to do the same. Is your life filled with following? What comes between you and active following of Christ? But then we came back to Dever's words here. The video's on the website. I can find it again if you want to go back and say, what in the world are we talking about anyway? It's on there. I'm still trying to get you to that site. Cindy would love you to be on that site. A couple of you listened to the CCF conference on suffering. She's about ready to take that down. And she's listening to this one called Living Scripture. That was another year. So remember what those conferences are? Every year, CCF has a conference, and they pick a theme, all right? The theme that she has up there now is called Living Scripture. You saw the QR code here when you came in. It's in the announcement time. Just stick your phone up there. Practice, because we may get to that today, and I'm going to have you put your phones up there and go look up an article for me. But about what does it mean to not just have the word over here and to make it back up how we're feeling, but no, we live by the light of God's word. That's there on the website. So is this link to this video here. But Dever said, okay, the germ of healthy churches that love God and love each other is churches who are following Christ. But he said this, if the germ is following Jesus, he said, we see it in discipling, me helping other people follow Jesus. Dever said, if I claim I'm following Jesus, but I'm not helping others follow Jesus, then what do you mean about following Jesus? He said, it doesn't seem to be normal what Jesus said would be normal for those following him. We looked up a bunch of passages. Are you going and making disciples? Are you going and making disciples? Even if it starts with, and I couldn't believe the circle of men yesterday. I was sure we were a church south of the border yesterday, because when we started there was almost nobody here, and about 15 minutes later the circle filled up. So we get a little going, a little manana action there yesterday. But when we finally got in here yesterday, I was surprised how many were willing to admit, why don't we head in this direction more? Why don't we interact in the lives of others more? I talked about fears of failure, fears of the Pandora's box that comes when you try to open up things. You open yourself up, you open up others and stuff that comes. That's the first step. You have to look and hear what he's saying. Go, my word, if this is what he's saying, one, I don't think I'm doing it. And two, figure out why we're not doing it. It's easy to just go, I'm a sinner. Hey, you're a sinner. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. That's not what he died for you to do. He died for you to face those fears, look at it, and say, this is the mission that he has called us to. So we need some guilt if we're failing. But in order to repent and confess, then obey, we must examine, well, what does it say about our following Jesus if we're not actively helping others follow Jesus? I said, yeah, all right, fine, we're sinning, disobeying, I got it. But if we're going to fix it, we got to say we have different priorities in following him. That's why some in here end up in a battle, because they say, well, okay, maybe I'm not following him. Okay, fine, I'm glad we got that out of the closet. If you're not following him, you're in danger. You keep going that way, you end up in hell. Hell is filled with people that don't willingly love and follow God. It's filled with people who are seeking to have their own standard of righteousness. That shows by what you get angry at. I can't stand people who, they should be punished. How can God let them do this? Okay, fine. You're busy being the final judge instead of humbly recognizing I'm guilty. I need to be reconciled to God. Those people that come reconciled to God say, God, take me just as I am. Work on me. Don't let go of me. Don't let go of me when I have different priorities in following him. That means our mission from God is slightly different. Remember the pastor on vacation? He said, I think we're struggling with people that have followed moralism. And moralism is doing right apart from a relationship with God. You're focusing on where you're right and others are wrong. And you may be right, but get very concerned as we say, well, God says do this. Well, he may or may not, but what you need is fear of the Lord to change that. Fear of the Lord. So what does it mean about our following Jesus? If we're not actively helping others to follow Jesus, we have different priorities in following him. It means our mission from God is slightly different. Here's where I told you we were going to start with 2 Corinthians 5. Go to 2 Corinthians 5 with me. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5. All right, Nicole, I failed. Can you write me an empty slide and just call it the progression in 2 Corinthians 5. What is the progression? Okay, in 2 Corinthians 5. Okay. And watch as we read here. I want you to know what is the focus here. Where does that focus head? The progression. He's focused here, and where does that focus lead? Okay, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5 to you. And for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body than to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. That's a phrase to think of. What does that mean? We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. That would take a little studying to think on that. What that means. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, that's about the third therefore, right? That's why I'm talking about progression. Every one of these is saying, here's the building block, and it leads to this. Here's the building block, and it leads to this. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And just one more verse. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now go ahead. Give me the progression. Now, don't go on and on. Just give me pieces of it and then circle back and add to what you're saying here. I want you to look into the word and see where this is starting and where it's moving. Give me pieces of it, and we'll try to put this DNA chain together. All right? Jim, you got some?
And he comes in to dwell with us. The word justification comes to mind first. We receive his righteousness. Then the second part for me would be a lifetime of sanctification. And then the third one would be glorification. That would be the progression in my mind.
Okay. All right. So Jim is noticing the Romans 8 chain here, okay? That we got justification. Okay? All right. You were made righteous. You were found not guilty. You belong. You've been scanned, all right? And you fit, all right? A life of sanctification. We're not talking about positional holiness, which takes place totally at salvation, which is what keeps you from earning your salvation. Okay? And then he's talking about glorification. That's in here, all right? He's seeing that in here, okay? Now, work inside the passage here, and that is all in there. I want you to feel it in the passage. Remember, I'm afraid of us taking Christian words, throwing them in the blender, and then we go, yeah, that's right. That's right. You got to see it in there. Otherwise, you walk away and say, that's just John David's opinion, or I already knew that, or we want living scripture, right? There's the second commercial for going to listen to one of those. What we're trying to do, we're trying to get you to traffic over on our church website, all right? It's not perfect. We're bumbling our way there, but there's been a lot of work, and there's a lot of resources over there. You just got to get over there. I know we're all busy, but for any of you that struggle scrolling through your phone, well, go scroll through our site a little bit. There's a bunch of things there that you can click through and find. You need the password, living faith. Capital L, capital F. Okay? Progression in here. Pastor, what are you seeing?
Starting out with life in Christ, in our body right now, we have a future hope
of a new body, the pledge of the Holy Spirit within. On the basis of that, we have six therefores moving down through the chapter.
Okay. So
this is how you live because of now
okay.
and the future.
All right. Life with Christ, because body dead, and then what you said, six therefores?
Six therefores.
There you go. Six therefores. Okay. But all right, now flesh this out. Flesh this out a little more. What do you got? Go ahead, Cindy. Okay. Coming. Here it comes.
Well, just in the beginning, like verses 1 through 5, he's
yes.
talking about what we have, comparing our earthly groaning, our mortal life, to the eternal heavenly.
Listen.
So he's starting out with that. And then he says in verses 6 through 10, so in light of, you know, we're suffering here, and we have this eternal home, which we're not there yet, that we need to walk by faith now in this mortal life, and we will be judged when we get to the eternal, so we need to live to please him now, and, you know, we want to please him there, just... that perspective, live in this mortal groaning in light of the eternal. And then I didn't get to think through. That's as far
yeah,
as
no,
I
no, don't. No, that's what I want. I want you to just stop and give a piece. Because see, he said, life with Christ because body dead, six therefores. Now she goes, comparing the earthly life with the heavenly life. See, if we're going to break this into a sermon, there it is, verses 1 to 5, 6. Therefore, we must walk by faith in the earthly because we will be judged in heavenly, okay? And that's why he says that, that therefore, live, good luck, Nicole, pleasing to God. Therefore, and she stopped, and that's what I want you to do. I want you to stop, and just because before you go even further, I need you to feel this. He's calling life with Christ because body dead. All right, comparing earthly life with the heavenly life, and what do you have? What do you have? What do you find here in the earthly? Just stay there in verses 1 to 5. Okay, what's going on with the earthly life versus the heavenly life? What do you got? Or are you going there or somewhere else, Harold? And you can go somewhere else. Okay, go there. Green.
Yeah, nothing different than what's been said, but it does strike me that the groaning, I can identify with that.
You know, yes.
We're stuck in this body, which is has sin around it, and we're stuck in a world with sin, and there's I can certainly identify with the groaning. But then, as Pastor said, you know, we have the Holy Spirit as a pledge, so. You know, we're waiting for to be with God, for the new body, which is separate from all this sin, and we have the pledge of the Holy Spirit inside us to say, yes, it's coming.
Groaning in contrast with, let's say longing based on promise. All right, let's just simplify it and leave that. All right, groaning. This is that Andrew Peterson song. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Or you say, no, it's not. See, all right, we're never going to get to discipling if Christ isn't precious to you. Remember I told you in the articles that I've been reading on this, they're talking about us being embarrassed by the gospel. And you go, no, it's not. We'll loudly sing the praises of our King. And you go, yeah, when you're around others loudly singing the praises of our King. And you go, no, I'll tell it to the whole world. So I was just reading an article about, is there anti-Semitism? And one of the Jewish groups said, just put a yarmulke on your head for 2 weeks and then come back and tell us if there's any anti-Semitism. All right? Right, I don't want to do that. Do you want to do that? I don't want to do that. Go ahead and, you know, Pastor John will go, well, I'll do that. Yeah, right, fine. I got it. But he has other fears somewhere else, all right? And this is what we're talking about. I don't care where you'll stick your nose out and say something. I care where Jesus sticks his nose out. And you follow along and go, this hurts. Not just the groaning you feel because of your own stupid choices or my stupid choices or their stupid choices. Not stupid, sinful, unholy. There is groaning because of that. My sin, your sin, their sin. There's brokenness with that. But you're going to groan down here if you follow a holy God. Because you're following a holy God, you're going to groan. All right? If you're not groaning because you're following a holy God, You're not understanding the brokenness. Peter talks about the world in its present form will be burned up. Will be burned up. All right? So groaning in contrast with a longing, or if you see groaning, it says in Romans 8, the creation itself longs to be released, all right? Based on the promise of God, which is going to lead where Cindy's going eventually, saying, well, that's why we have to walk by faith. Because this is earthly. I'm still earthly, right? I thought of that when I had Carla's body, right? So should I open the casket when we were in the van driving, or shouldn't I? You say, stop, you're being disrespectful. But I never felt before so much the emptiness of a shell. Why? Because I watched her breathing, not. You looked at a body before they took it away, and then you look at a body after they get done with whatever they do to a body. Do you want to know what they do to a body? But don't worry, I don't have that stuff. I looked at it, and it was a shell. It was a shell, wasn't it? Susie's been putting up pictures that, geez, we've lived over the last 5 years. That's the image that's stuck in my head. But you see those pictures again, you go, whoa, what happened? What happened? And that's where you start seeing that this earthly tent, like what just what Harold was saying, it's torn down. There was somebody in this area when we first moved that was trying to do it the, you know, the I'm not going to have a debt way to build a house. So, you know, did the mobile home thing. I think Merv did a version of this. This isn't the one I was thinking of, though. You can ask him about his version of this. Do a mobile home thing, built a foundation underneath it, lived in that foundation, eventually built the house around it. The last thing they did was tore down the mobile home. All right? That's rough. It's hard. It's hard on a family. You got to think through a whole bunch of things before you go, yeah, we can all do this. All right? It's hard on a family. But that's the picture I see in here. I see, well, there went my body, but I still have a home. You see that in there? There went my body, but I still have a home. See that? We know if the earthly tent, which our house, is torn down, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. So I thought, as I was looking at Carla, just that, yeah, you could say, all right, she's in heaven, all right, no, you have to live that down here now, or else you lose perspective on who is Carla. Is it that? Is it that? You saw her here, it was painful for some of you to look at her, she sat all curled up here. Keep her at home, good, then you don't have to see it. Thank you for those of you that tried to care for her. But we weren't just neglecting her at the end. There wasn't much to do. You could sit there, rub her back, say a few words to her, and then she was content with that, and her mind was gone. I said, Susie, what do you miss about her? She said, not being able to have a real conversation. I said, when was that? She's like, I can't remember. It was so long. You say, stop talking about death. See, if we can't face death, then you don't need a body from God. Stop telling me you're saved if you can't face it. We're decaying just like he said we would. Right? Because if you can agree, you will die. You see all the movies and the ones you wish your kids hadn't watched as you just watch them all shrivel up in old age, right? I told you that dumb Smithsonian exhibit that was going to prove we came from evolution, right? Remember? That took you from who you are back to the monkey. It was, right, it was kind of cool looking, but it was like, no, stop. I don't care that you just did that. You took me from a monkey that took you from where you were back the other way, right? It can age you, right? He said, don't age me. Take me back. The only place in here that you get a body that's good is a heavenly one. You see that? But you're not heavenly. I'm going to get to watch you. I said, you know what? And I, you know I do the dark side. I want to watch us all get wrinkles. You know what that means? We were here long enough to see us before the wrinkles. And then we watch them come. And you go, you're here. Thank you. We get to build a relationship. And you said, I came with wrinkles. All right, good, good. Get more wrinkles. All right? No, but it means, but remember, you know where Corinthians is going. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. But that only happens if you get to that second stage. Do you hear? The groaning in contrast with the longing based on the promise of God. Well, the second stage, therefore we must walk by faith in the earthly because we'll be judged in the heavenly. You see that? Therefore, being always of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Why do you need the Lord? So you're not naked. Right? There is no more Carla. Well, yes, there is. She's with Jesus. Yeah, well, is she? And you go, well, yeah, I think so. Well, you better be able to decide who's not with Jesus. You say, well, we're not the final judge. Well, then stop being so quick to say everybody's in heaven after they die. All right? You're going to have to put somebody in hell. You go, well, the people that I don't like, that I had a hard time forgiving, they go to hell. See, stop, right? I'm being snarky because usually we don't verbalize all this. But usually that's what happens. We go, I don't know about them. I don't know about them. But the people we like, we go, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Even if we weren't sure, we go, who are you to judge? The whole hope in here is hinged that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Why? We walk by faith. Why? Because a heavenly God, right, promised us something. Where's that heavenly God? What did the ascension look like? You just do this and go up through the air? You know, you ever wonder that? It said they watched him ascending. Did it go quick? Did it go slow? We all have pictures from whatever movie or Bible story book you looked at, right? And where did he go? What do you tell a kid? I watch a comedian that's sometimes good and sometimes not on Facebook things. And he said, if you're a little kid, you say, uh-oh, right? If you're an adult, you're not allowed to say, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Where did Jesus go? Oh, uh-oh. He disappeared. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is that? John 14. You know you're going to attach that to John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Why does he say that? They said, where are you going? How do we know the way? I am the way, right? Every time you hear that, many mansions, right? And the further away we get from the King James Bible, you lose that, many mansions. Dwelling places, okay? I'm going to prepare a place. There it is. We walk by faith, not by sight. If you get to heaven, right? And whoever's running it up there, you go, is this heaven? And he goes, well, it ain't the other place. And you go, well, then I want to be here. And he goes, why? And you go, because you said. He goes, I was kidding. Get out of here. See, you're hanging a whole lot that his word is trustworthy. And if you say it's not, okay, well, your life is showing that. You're living by another word. Christians are saying, my faith isn't perfected, but I'm not trusting in my word. I'm trusting in his. That's why John 3:36 says, he who believes on the Son has life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You're not obeying his word. You're not paying attention to his word. You better be nervous. The wrath of God is righteous because he is holy, and we are choosing another holy to live by. You say, I don't know if I can believe God. I can't see him. Well, good. Then go ahead, enjoy your body because this is all you got. That's why you get so mad at everybody around you, because you go, this is my life, and my life has been filled with this person's eyes are looking somewhere else. We prefer to be absent from the body and home with the Lord. Stop looking to be a better you. Because see, when your body didn't have wrinkles, were you fully content? And sometimes that's irrelevant. But what were you thinking about when your body didn't have any wrinkles? You were at your best. Where do you want to go? 17? 21? 24? What was your life filled with? Saying that? We prefer to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. Were you full of that? Because you had your perfect little body, right? You look in the mirror and go, this is it. This is who I am. This is me at my best. But it says here, therefore we also have as our ambition. Ambition, that's your dreams, your goals. It's all based on what? The earthly body's decaying. I don't want to be found naked without a body. That's implying that you have a soul that's never died. Think on that, because that's all around these euthanasia, abortion, all these things. Those are the catchwords. Like, everybody gets all upset. Physician-assisted suicide. What they're saying is we determine the value of life. Right? Every one of those arguments is saying we suicide, all of it. All of it's just saying life is terrible. So since it's terrible, I have a right to do something about it. And here it's saying life is terrible like he said it would be. So I need another life, right? That's here. Why is this so important? Because if life comes from him and your body comes from him, then you live before him. And when you get there, like Cindy said, he's going to determine whether you use the life rightly. That's what it says. Look, it goes from that hope to we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? That's why he goes, huh, well, I live for his by his pleasure, for his pleasure. That's what it says in there, right? My ambition, my dreams and goals. And that's where you'll see how undiscipled we are as supposed Christians. Everything goes well until somebody starts telling you, no, this is what you should be doing with your life. And you go, don't you tell me what my priorities should be. Okay, I'm telling you, are you first very aware of your own desire to live in the flesh, that you're suspicious of your own priorities? Based on the heavenly ones, not based on me, based on her, him. Are you suspicious of, I want, I need? If you're next to a holy God and he's going to look at us, he's one thing to prove to me and you that we're okay. It's another thing to prove to a holy God that our ambitions are the same as his. That's where you see the lack of discipleship in a church, where you're getting less and less togetherness. Togetherness. What is that? No common vision and goals among a church. Right? We hear me getting firm, sharp at times. It's not because I want you all to think that I'm right. I like to be right as much as you like to be right. But that's not what I want. I think we have to get the common goals. The common ones. Not the sideshows. Remember the pyramid? You need Christ to be the cornerstone. And then what is it? Do you have as your ambition to be pleasing to him? If you don't get that one right, then all the other stuff is just going to be distracting, is a sideshow. My point is, I don't think we have that. Therefore, it should make us humble and say, Lord, would you work that in my life? Keep working. Keep working. And where does that humility come? From recognizing that what he said about the earthly is true and the heavenly. Okay? And why is this important? Because once you say, I live to please him inside of here, right? All right? And I know that I'm going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ so I can be recompensed for my deeds in the body, what I've done, good or bad. What do? I turn around to the people next to me. Verse 11, right? Knowing the fear of the Lord, this is reality. And I think, you're decaying. What are you doing about it? Well, I know. I just got a surgery. Get rid of my wrinkles. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. God said that this would happen. And what are you doing with God? I don't want to talk about that. No. No, what are you doing? Where would you say, it's none of my business, it's none of my business, it's none of my business, it's none of my, when would you make something your business with a stranger? In the old days, right, before people got freaked out, you saw people's headlights on, you just open their door and turn them off. Right? Some of you will still do that. Right? Some of you, watch out. Right? Yeah, you're scared. You think they're going to accuse me of stealing their car. No, I'm just turning off their lights. Right? Some of you know people that leave their keys in the ignition. Right? Some of you may still do that. Right? Okay? All right. But here, you stepped into a stranger's life and you said, nobody wants to come out and find their battery not working. Right? When will you step into a stranger's life? Go ahead. What are you thinking, Cindy?
We're all preaching something about how we make life work. And when we own that, this is when we own that perspective that you were just talking about, that it's the gospel that gives us life, that we answer to Jesus Christ, that, you know, we have to appear before the judgment seat, and that there is truly, that the life is eternal, then we won't be preaching other things that, like, you know, you need to get your life, need to do things for your health, you need to work out more, you need to be more organized, be more perfectionist. You know, if we are making our own lives work through these various things, then, and we're not truly finding hope in God's word and the direction you're talking about, then we won't speak it to others or preach it to others.
There you go. So you're all evangelizing, if you believe what she said. Anybody you interact with, Christian or non-Christian, you are preaching something about what will make life work. You are. How are you feeling today? Oh, okay, I have a headache. Oh, did you try this and this and this and this? See? I want to get rid of a few pounds. Oh, well, I don't mean to judge, but you really want to do that? Well, then do this and this and this and this. And you go, well, all that stuff needs to happen, you know? And you keep going on with the other. So what am I doing? They're trying to close up Carla's affairs, right? You say, stop talking about death. Okay, yeah, that's why we just put them all out there somewhere, so we don't have to deal with this. Shh, it's private. None of your business. Close up. Oh, man, it's a lot of work to die. Yeah, for the others. Yeah, you just get in this position. Everybody else does that, right? And you go, oh, no, you got to grieve. Yes, yes, you got to grieve, and you have the feelings here, and then you still got to do this. That's why plan ahead, so you can think through so you could deal with the grieving and the other stuff there at the end. But you got to, so we're talking to the Edward Jones guy, that where IRAs are, right? And it's all this work to try and, does, if we do this, then Carla has taxes. I said, no, Carla's not here. It's like, well, Carla can still have taxes. Well, no, we don't want Carla to have taxes next year, right? After she's gone. Well, then how do we do all that, right? And see, that's important, but whoever you talk to, right? You talk to your home insurance person, your auto insurance person, they got different priorities than you do, don't they? They all want to give you life insurance. You go, why? I'm not going to be here, right? Well, do you love the people around you, right? And then you carry that on vacation with you, and the timeshare people will tell you, do you love your family? Then you'll give us $50,000. If you don't do it, you don't love your family, right? Because you all need time away, right? Me, whoever you talk to, right? I told you I went to the doctor. He had other priorities for me, right? You hear what she said? It didn't mean they didn't matter. It didn't mean, Seth, bring it back here. It didn't mean it didn't matter. She's saying somehow you're preaching about what life makes life work by what you're talking about, by what you're thinking about, and we're not telling you to just say Jesus to preen it in front of others. We're saying it bleeds out of you, right? Just like my wife looks at me with that look and goes, you've been eating black jelly beans again.
The black tongue gave it away.
Yes, the black tongue, and I sweat. Remember, somebody told me there's estrogen in black jelly beans. Yeah, you go, what? I don't know what it is. I know I eat a handful, and my whole head starts sweating, right? And she goes, I'm not kissing you. Get away. Right? What is it for you? What is it that just oozes out of your pores? Garlic, right? You have that? Garlic right before church? Yeah, we'll all give you your distance. Right? Right? What oozes? Here. What we said here is not that those things don't matter. See, that what's happening now? The country's in a mess. But all of a sudden, politics is dividing up all the churches. I'm going to tell you, if we had a common mission and life in Christ, then we could argue about politics and it wouldn't divide us up. Because it was a secondary issue. You go, no, it's not. Okay, what kingdom are you living for? Now, see, we didn't realize that would be such a tension to have an American flag in a church. I grew up, every church I was in had that. We didn't buy that here. It was here when we came. But I get it. We're soft about that. That's like the second or third time you'll ever hear me mention it in 20 years. But our problem was not, let's put it there. Let's think slowly about our different perspectives and how country fits with God. But the same, how our bodies fit with God, our finances fit with God. When this Christ is the gospel, it will minimize or put the other priorities in place underneath. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord. Who's he talking to? All these other believers at Corinth. We persuade men. Look what he's persuading them about. What are you thinking, Cindy?
Along those lines, I've been thinking a lot about that earthly things are often pictures or object lessons of the greater eternal. And for example, you know, our body, as you're saying, right. or Jesus right. is the bread of life, right. or you know, comparing mammon and, you know, money and, mm-hmm. and the kingdom, or our earthly father, heavenly father, and earthly yes. marriage, and Jesus Christ. All these are pictures of something greater in heaven, a greater spiritual thing, like food comes from Jesus Christ and his word that sustains us. And you know, we have something so much greater in our relationship with Jesus Christ than in our marriage. Or so I often these object lessons, we want to make these earthly things, we focus on them and want them to sustain us. We want to put our hope in them, and we're trying to fix our own little kingdom now and here in this earthly. And then we think, well, this is how you do it. This is how you make your earthly life work. And when really we're missing the much greater
right.
heavenly thing, which is so much better.
Right. That's where this passage lives. It might not be where you live or I live. I told you I'm still not there yet. I'm not there yet. Right? When I grew up, it was, I want heaven because it wasn't hell. Right? I always had God. God was always holy. God was always good. His word was always true. But having as my ambition to live pleasing to him, I guess, because I didn't want you to think badly of me. I guess because I wanted to not get into any other trouble with God or other people. But to have it in a way that how can you be pleasing to him? We have to listen to him. This is where we ask, are you a disciple? You can't make disciples until you figure out how you're disciples. Well, you are making disciples. But you need to look again. Are you following as he asked you to follow, right? If you aren't looking at him, see, if you quickly take him and go, oh, that's how it happens in heaven? Well, then, all right, fine. I'm going to use this down here, and I'll have a better body. You go, you should care about your body. I'm going to use this down here, and I'm going to know how to respond to the kings, right? Yes? Okay. But if you're not careful, it's flipped. You're using heaven to get a better earth instead of living in earth as citizens of heaven. Living on earth as citizens in heaven. That's where this goes. All right, so where this is going, we made it through verse 11. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, okay? But then what in the world does 11 to 13 say? What do you see in 11 to 13? How does that fit into this discussion? Those are the tricky ones, all right? So say, I don't know, but maybe. What can you do with verse 11 to 13, and how can it be another therefore? Go, Brad.
Looking back at verse 10, you know, seeing the power that God has over our eternal destiny, it should cause us to fear and respect God enough to be able to do what he commands us to do. Therefore, we're going to be going out persuading men, doing the things that God wants us to do for other men, even if it puts our reputation on the line.
Right?
It's about the best I can.
No, that'll work. And what do you see about that reputation in verses 11 to 13? What will that reputation be? All right, verse 10, anchors.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean, judging from what he's saying in verse 12, it would seem very easy for people to think that they're doing this for themselves, for their own appearance sake, but. Which I think is why he's taking the opportunity to say we're not doing this to commend ourselves or in commending ourselves, but we're doing this for God. Even though it may seem that we're, insane in doing this. That appearance is for God's sake.
Okay. Anybody else want to say anything? Did you see that? What does verse 11 to 13 say? It's saying, all right, it's coming back down here to where we live and saying, when I talk and act this way, and everybody goes, well, don't do it this way, do it this way. Well, you're a little too sharp on this. Well, you should be quiet here. Well, you should speak up. You speak up. Everybody's going to offer their opinion on how to do it better. You don't think they have an opinion? It's inside. You know what I get excited about in here? When we finally hear each other's opinion. You know what that means? We usually say all the nice things to each other. You know what that means is left? All the things that aren't nice. You go, well, it's not nice. No, I didn't say that. I didn't tell you not to be nice. I told you to live transparently. Live transparently. You say, I don't want to live transparently. Whoops. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, right? In Hebrews 4, says the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why do you want the word to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart? The next verse says the same thing. For every thought person will be laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we have to do. It's so easy for us to say, you don't know my heart, stop judging. Yeah, but he does. That's why you want the word to get you down to the motive level, right? The motive in this passage was walking by faith, viewing God as the giver of the only thing that's going to keep us from being found naked, empty. Hell is, remember that kid's catechism I have? Hell is God's garbage dump for ruined people. Don't like that. He made you for the glory of God. And you go and say, I will determine reality. All the way to the end. I will determine righteousness. I will determine what a good life is. He says, no, that's not. Don't desecrate my holy name. Don't desecrate my holy name. So if you have verse 10 anchoring, like Brad said, then verse 11, he goes, Paul goes, you got those that care about the flesh? What's seen? Well, show them this. That's what he's saying. Show them this. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And he goes, and he's willing to parade that. He goes, this is good. This is good. But it's anchored by verse 10. That's why we're very nervous about all those Christian ministries that are trying to do wonderful things for God. And I go, well, are you doing it for God or for yourself? You go, well, judge yourself, John David. Are you doing this for God? I've told you. My motives are not pure. I hope they're purer. Well, so are theirs. Careful. We all like to watch a show. We're very hard on judging other people. It's rooted in what you believe about where life is. Okay, so we have to stop now, and you look then next week, we finish, you look at how the rest of the therefores in this chapter fit together, and I promise this is going to the roots of what discipleship looks like. Lord Jesus, would you help us as we consider from where we're at? Not how to fix all of it, but what it is to gaze at the eternal as the real and to see the earthly as the temporary. Would you help us, Father? We live by what we see. If the eternal is real, we're foolish, just like little children, as they'd rather take it now than build for later. Would you work the gospel slowly into our heart so that it will put the other things in the right priorities? And then, Lord, not just persuading men out of fear of the Lord, that fear of the Lord, the next verse says, the love of Christ drives me, controls me. Show us your love for us once again so that it is a willing sacrifice to follow you and to call others to follow one who is so great. We come in Jesus' name. Amen.